This is The Food Fix, a podcast where we talk to researchers and innovators about how to better feed the world. Welcome to The Food Fix. I'm your host, Taylor Holterman. This is episode 5 of The Relaunch, and we're talking about food waste. More specifically, a nonprofit organization called ReFed. The people at ReFed are working to make sure food ends up where it's intended to be. And if you're wondering where food is usually intended to be, their operations director Katie Hart said it best. In people's bellies. The majority of America's food is intended for consumption, but much of it doesn't end up being consumed. Katie is here to talk about this today. Hello. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Taylor. It's great to be here.
Let's jump into it. One of the most shocking stats I read on the ReFed website was, in the U.S., 35% of all food goes unsold or uneaten, and most of that goes to waste. 35% of the 229 million tons of food in the U.S. in 2019 went unsold or uneaten. That's about 80 million tons. For reference, a ton is about 2,000 pounds, and an adult black rhinoceros weighs about 2,000 pounds. And a majority of that food, ReFed estimates about 54 million tons, was left to rot. So obviously, something is wrong here. Why are we wasting so much food, and where is this food surplus coming from?
The sad way to look at that is it happens because our food system is incredibly efficient. It gets food where it should go, and then it cuts out the, you know, excess, if you will. But then it's also a bit of a luxury that we have this waste. You know, not everybody is able to, you know, look in their fridge and simply say, don't feel like eating those potatoes, they're gone. Don't want to do that spinach, that's gone, but these cheese sticks, you know, they're good. We're going to keep those guys. So there's a couple of different dynamics here, and ultimately it is a very complex challenge, just the way that our food system and our supply chains are very complex, and supply and demand don't always match up. A lot of it really comes down to, you know, there's a lack of awareness of some of these challenges. There's, you know, education gaps, and that all kind of sits within this growing distance between us and our food. And then kind of the where it happens is literally everywhere. The bulk of food waste, I think it's about 43% of food waste happens at the consumer level. So in our homes, we are the biggest culprits. But it does happen all the way up the supply chain, farm, retail, manufacturing, food service, restaurants. Even many of those challenges are influenced by consumer preferences. I know I'm making us the bad guys here, but it is kind of true that we do bear the burden of kind of why this all happens. But it also means we can be really powerful in implementing change in that too.
With that loss of connection to our food, I think one thing that comes up is not understanding the consequences of food waste. When I was growing up, my parents always told me to only take as much for dinner as I could eat, so we didn't waste food. But the understanding never went any deeper than something I was just told to do. What are some of the consequences of having this much wasted food?
There are environmental consequences. Anywhere between about, you know, 15 to 25% of our, you know, main natural resources that we need to produce food. Let's think of that zucchini again. It didn't just magically appear in the grocery store. There were seeds that went into that. And, you know, if you go even deeper, seeds have to be grown and produced. We're wasting the water that goes into it, the fertilizer that goes into the food. We're wasting the energy. Food production and food waste specifically uses about 2% of our national energy production. We're wasting and producing an incredible amount of greenhouse gas emissions. And if we think about really long-term strategies, if we really dialed back food waste, we could affect food production and actually start to think about things like land use conservation. You know, what if we were, you know, better protecting our lands and able to do more cover cropping or reforestation? The consequences are very significant.
But this isn't just a big unsolvable problem, right? ReFED created a document called Roadmap to 2030, reducing U.S. food waste by 50%. It branches off of the report ReFED was born out of in 2016, and it's meant to be a pathway for users towards the right solutions for them. There are three solution categories. 5 solutions are in prevention, 1 is in rescue, and 1 is in recycling. You said prevention is typically considered the number one solution because it stops the food waste before it happens. But let's dive into the solutions in each of these categories, starting with prevention.
So we start with optimize the harvest. And that's really the first step in thinking about the life cycle of food. And then we're looking at enhancing product distribution. So do we have the best sales channels? Are we getting food into the right people? Are we matching up supply and demand in the right way? Then we get into refining product management. So this is things like, are we managing inventory correctly? Could be thinking about things like, are you doing first in, first out, or are you using a different inventory methodology? We also look at maximizing product utilization. So this could be a solution like in a restaurant or a food service environment. We might not have thought to use the carrot tops, but now you see carrot top pestos all over the place. And then lastly, reshaping consumer environments. And this one is a really fun space and category of solutions with a lot of room for innovation, because this is about reshaping our experience with food. But also what's really important with this category is equity and inclusion. Not everyone's going to be able to afford that fridge that you can look inside at the grocery store and have your smartphone app. And then strengthen food rescue. I talked about that a little bit, but that is improving donation logistics. It's improving transportation and getting better donations out there. And then again, recycle anything that's valorizing everything that we couldn't catch before, and still putting it to something useful, whether that's energy conversion, composting into agri products. But hopefully that also makes people realize that no matter where the food waste is occurring, there are ways that you can be working towards this and there are solutions available.
Along with all of these solutions, there are a lot of barriers to solution implementation listed on your website. What would you say are the largest or most pressing barriers for the U.S. right now?
So it definitely varies by, you know, solution or, you know, area of the supply chain. But I'd say in really general terms, I'd probably cite 3. One is will, just kind of the willingness to act. But I just encourage people to think, like, whether it's through your professional life, if you have a connection to the food system, or like guaranteed your consumer interacting with the food system, there's some way for you to be a part of these solutions. The second one's just education and awareness. And, you know, we're working on that. There's dozens, if not hundreds, of organizations across the country that are improving education on this topic. Then the third one I'd say is, you know, policy really does matter. That can create barriers or lift them really quickly, as well as inject money into a system really quickly. So that'd be a big one I'd cite as well.
Are we on track to meet our food reduction goals in the U.S.?
You know, the short answer is not quite. We really need to pick things up. We need to see more tangible action against a lot of the commitments that have been made. You know, we need to see movement against those. We're working on our 2020 and 2021 data updates to the Insights Engine, and we're, you know, fingers crossed we'll see some promising news there, but it's always a toss-up when we run those numbers, and we're kind of waiting with bated breath to see, how did we do last year? You know, how did we do as a country? And, you know, what kind of news are we going to be telling people? But there's a lot of great anecdotal evidence that we're making strides. But then when you put the big picture data together, we have a lot of work to do.
If someone listening wants to make a difference in their personal life when it comes to food waste, what would you recommend they do?
Usually the place I tell people to start is to keep track of your food and what you might be wasting at home so that you can plan smarter and, you know, shop smarter, cook smarter, et cetera. And the easiest way that I think to do that is keep that receipt and like circle or highlight the things that you waste and don't feel ashamed about it. This is like a journey for everybody, but the best thing you can do is start to become aware of what kind of waste am I generating personally, and start to, and then kind of on the other side of the paper, start to think about like, is there something else I could do with this? And sometimes there won't be, but sometimes there will be.
ReFED has a lot of exciting things in the works. They're updating their insights engine, which is a spot on their website to find food waste data, solutions, and even calculate the waste impact. They just relaunched their policy finder, where you can find related policies and how helpful or harmful they are. They're launching a capital tool to track what's going on with money in the sector. All of that comes along with their usual events to connect and educate people and organizations. If you're interested in learning more about all of that or anything else from this interview, their website is linked in the description of this episode. And thank you so much, Katie, for being a part of the podcast.
Thank you, Taylor, for having me on The Food Fix. It was really great to be here, and I hope you all enjoy.
And this marks the end of this episode of The Food Fix. Thank you so much for tuning in. We release a new episode every Tuesday at 5 a.m. You can join me right back here for the next episode on Tuesday, March 22nd, if you've liked what you've heard. Until then, if you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can follow us and reach out on Facebook and Twitter at MSU Food Fix. This podcast is brought to you by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism, and I've been your host, Taylor Holterman. You've been listening to The Food Fix.